This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The rate of refugee resettlement in North Carolina has plummeted. In 2016, more than 3,000 refugees were settled in the state. This year, North Carolina is set to admit fewer than 900. Much of this drop is caused by restrictions put in place by the Trump administration. WNC data reporter Jason DeBruin's been tracking those changes and joins us now. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
We should scale back a little bit here and talk about the big picture globally, because we're talking about obviously a very big reduction in the number of refugees coming to North Carolina. But globally, what's the refugee picture now?
Yeah, certainly the need hasn't declined at all, particularly with the conflict now in Syria. But the top line number for refugees worldwide is about 22 or 23 million. So a pretty big number.
Yeah, 23 men. Those are refugees who have left their borders. There are even more, maybe 40 million more if they're talking about internally displaced. But we're only talking about the people who have left their borders. Right?
Yeah, that's right. If you look at people that have just simply been displaced, that figure's closer to 65 million. So you mentioned an additional 40 million. Yeah, you're right on the money there. So if you think about it, I mean, it's huge numbers. 20 million refugees. And here in North Carolina, we're resettling fewer than 900. I mean, the count in the United States, we measure it in the tens of thousands. And there are, you know, every year, and there are 22 million refugees.
Yeah, it's incredible numbers. And now the shortfall. So how do refugees come to North Carolina? What's the process for getting here?
It is quite long. In my reporting, I talked to several families. You know, some people said that they had waited in refugee camps, I mean, decade or longer. I mean, it really is a very lengthy, very stringent process. You have to fill out all sorts of paperwork. Nearly every single department in the United States, federal government, State Department, everything sort of gets a look at your application process. And after many years and a lot of vetting, then at some point, finally, you get the green light, and then you are brought over here and resettled, you know, in one of the states that's accepting refugees.
And that was the case even before the so-called extreme vetting
right.
that went into effect by the Trump administration.
Right? Yeah, that's right. I mean, I suppose you can have an argument about how much vetting is the right amount, right. but, you know, Pew Research, other places have looked at the vetting measures that were in place, you know, through the 90s, through the 2000s, and have made arguments that the vetting measures were quite strong already. This administration wants to increase the vetting measures, you know, that's, of course, its prerogative.
All right. So tell us more about the numbers of refugees now we're seeing in North Carolina.
So we had seen pretty consistently about 2,500 or 3,000 refugees resettled in North Carolina through much of the Obama administration. It was slightly lower than that in the earlier 2000s. There were fewer refugees worldwide. The majority come from Burma. So we're talking about the Rohingya population. Just here in North Carolina. In 2016, we saw that big spike, or not big spike, we saw a spike up to about 3,300. So from about, say, 2,500, 3,000, up to about 3,300. But then in 2017, that really started to decline. And you can see the numbers, as we have with many other things. They sort of began right there in February as the Trump administration took over, that the resettled refugees in North Carolina really started to decline. It was less than 2,000 in 2017, as you mentioned, and again is on pace to be below 900. And I should mention that 900 number is simply an annualized estimate. The numbers are actually coming down, so it's likely that there will be fewer refugees resettled in the second half of this year as there were in the first half. So that 900 number assumes that the rate would be the same, when it's likely to actually drop below that.
That's fascinating. All of this at a time when the need of the most vulnerable people in the world is growing, and of course, no indication that that had caused any kind of security problem in the past, in those years when the numbers had been rising. You spoke to one father from Congo who lives in Raleigh. He's trying to bring his family over, and I think his case probably illustrates some of the challenges his families face.
That's right. So he has children from a previous marriage. He's now married and has another child. That family unit was able to come over. They were at a refugee camp in Tanzania. They had fled the Congo and were staying in Tanzania at a camp. And he said that he had the paperwork all cleared. Everything looked good for both family units to come over. But one of his children from his previous marriage was pregnant, and so that slowed things down. They were not able to come, and that actually affected his other children as well. So the one family unit came over, but that was more than a year ago already. Certainly, the woman had her baby, but he is still having trouble, and they have not been reunified. And he says it's causing him a serious amount of stress, that he's worried that his previous family, his children are still, and now his grandchild are over in this. In the refugee camp, and he's trying to get them over, but, as of yet, to no avail.
All right. You also spoke with the director of the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, which is a not-for-profit based in Raleigh. What are they telling you about the impact of this resettlement change?
Well, the main thing is just the stress on the people that are here. In some ways, there's not much that he can do, right? So whenever somebody is approved to come over, then his organization is contacted, and they sort of do everything that they can to get the family integrated into American life as much as possible. So from that aspect, they actually have a lot less to do, frankly. But basically, the hardship is on those that are here, but no people that are still in camps and have not been able to, get out of those danger zones. And so that's really sort of the stressor point right now.
Jason DeBruin, WNC Data Reporter. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.